Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well, thank you. Ready and raring to go and solve the problems once again. But they keep cropping up.
Yes.
We've solved so many problems.
Whack-a-mole. You know.
I wish we could say that seriously. But all I can think about is we hopefully introduce ideas to people to solve the problems. And, you know, when I think about this thing going on with the impeachment hearings and the trial, that, you know, Rand got involved in that a little bit.
Yeah, he sure did.
But I got to thinking, isn't it pretty neat? The world is torn apart. This country's torn apart. And the Democrats hate the Republicans and going on and on. How are we going to solve this? How are we going to solve it? And I thought, well, you know, so much can be solved the way he has approached it. You know, it's just, and I've told people, just read the Constitution.
Yeah.
He come up with a phrase or two and say, you're not following the Constitution, but so maybe we should just drop this idea.
Yeah.
But that's really the solution to so much of what we do. Well, when we have total runaway inflation, what are we going to do? Well, read the Constitution. You're not allowed to print money, you know, in all these efforts. Well, we're concerned about our privacy. What do we do? Well, the government has no authority to march into our houses and spy on us constantly. But anyway, that is our goal, to introduce some answers to our problems, and I think people would be less frightened and less concerned. But we have some articles today about our friend Fauci. This is a real challenge. I don't know whether we should be doing this, because we're challenging the individual who makes the most money in the U.S. government.
And hasn't given us a penny.
I wonder if that itself should have warned us. Anybody who can get $400,000+ for working as a bureaucrat, we should be, you know, our antennas should go up. But nobody seems to know that or care about it. But we care about it because we want to get rid of the position and save a lot of money. But he's come out again, and we've noted in the past when he has contradicted himself. You know, we're kind to him, and we only mention things when he's saying things that we disagree with, and we try to justify it. But his worst enemy. You know, he contradicts himself. We caught him again. He's contradicting himself. So now he used to be against masks before he was for masks, but it looks like you know, we've heard him say, you know, masks don't help. He still says it. It depends on where he is.
Yeah.
Depends on what day it is of the week. But here he's getting into the mask thing again, and he has seen, you know, as the leader, he is the scientific moral leader about dealing with coronavirus. And I think he gets a failing grade on this, but others still, you know, believe that we should bow to an individual like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming up with now, because there's a trouble in distributing the vaccines, and one day, and I think we showed that the last week, the day before Biden was sworn in, you know, things were horrible. The day afterwards, things are getting better.
Yeah.
This kind of newspeaker double talk that they do. But anyway, he has the solution, but he knows there's a problem with it. Because we're still having way too many, and maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong too, too many people coming down with COVID.
Yeah.
So usually if he had a bad statistic, or they concocted a bad statistic and frightened the people, they would come up with more efforts. We need to test more people. Yeah. We need more masks. And so this time they've come up under the conditions now. Maybe it's not the worst they were, but we still need to do something. There's too many. So he thinks if we add a mask or two, so that doesn't really satisfy those of us who think there's a little bit of risk on putting on a mask. But he wants them to put an extra mask on. So those who of us that believe that there's some inhibition on breathing and exhaling your air and not doing much, because I think we can find some polling that will do will settle this, and some scientific polling that shows that there's no proof that the masking has done any good.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that's what he's admitting now. So it used to be, well, we'll increase the number of people with masks, but now the solution is double whammy, double mask. And the one reservation he has now is he has lack of confidence in the marketplace. What he's saying is, the only trouble is we might run out of masks, and what are we going to do about that? So that's his concern about his proposal now, that everybody gets wear a couple masks or more, maybe.
You know, and I've read some articles about how this mask pollution is destroying the oceans. They're full of masks. We know they're all over the parking lots. As someone who hates pollution, there's something to be concerned. But I wanted to sort of take a little tour, Dr. Paul. Let's take a little tour of mask science, quote unquote science. And here's where we were back in March of 2020. There's a little clip that we can play, just the first 26 seconds of this clip of Fauci, if we can get that.
Confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure?
Okay, so there he is saying that you shouldn't be going around with a face mask, but he wasn't alone back in March. Let's look at, there's a couple of clips that we'll go through real quick, Dr. Paul. Here's the Independent citing a chief medical officer in the UK. They were warning back in March that face masks could increase the risk of infection. They were telling people don't wear them. For the average member of the public walking down the street, it's not a good idea to wear a face mask, said the chief medical officer in the UK. And here's the next one. Here's the World Health Organization. All the people that we were told you can't disagree with or you'll get banned from social media, here they are in March. If you don't have any respiratory symptoms such as fever, cough, or runny nose, you do not need to wear a medical mask. When used alone, masks can give you a false feeling of protection and even be a source of infection when not used correctly. That's a pretty strong warning. But you fast forward ahead to just a couple of days ago, Dr. Paul, and we know over the past year, Fauci himself has been wearing only one mask, sometimes no mask. We've seen him a lot with no mask, like when he goes to watch a baseball game. He doesn't have any mask on. Then here he pops out. Now, he's riding high in the Biden administration. He's dishing all kinds of dirt on Trump's administration and on Scott Atlas, and now he's riding high. So here he comes out a couple of days ago. Let's look at this next clip. Fauci says double masking just makes common sense. So the question, Dr. Paul, is if the science is settled, which science? The one that said no mask, the one that said you better wear a mask, or the one now that says you better wear two masks? And Fauci himself punts on this. He says, put another layer on. It just makes common sense. What was common sense in science?
That's right. It raises the question about their statement months and months ago that the science has settled this.
Yeah.
You guys that are bringing up these questions, you have no right to do this because the science has settled it. But so there is disagreement in science, and there were disagreements back then. There are some now.
Yeah.
But the point we want to make here today also is the disagreement is within the mind of Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
You know, he's disagreeing with himself.
He's
flip-flopping. When people have two personalities, there's a term for that. When there are two policies, you know, coming the same way, I think it's safe to say that this policy is schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just one time. He didn't say, you know, masks are great, and now I don't think we should use them. The science has showed,
yeah,
and I'm open to science. I'm a scientist. I'm not closed-minded. So therefore, what we should do is change our policies. But no, that's not it. It's almost back and forth, you know, depending on what day it is. So, and I think the mask has become such a terrible symbol. And I mentioned it the other day about the symbol, as we saw all the individuals that were on the team to convict Trump.
Yeah.
You know, they marched in there and they had these masks on. And here I am thinking, you know, they don't do any good. Why don't you talk about this? And it was almost like, the symbol of a strict obedience. And I think that's what the mask is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's the neighborhood or and people who are so-called friends will say, why are you exposing me to this? You know, but to me, the mask is a symbol of submission. If you wear it, you can almost guarantee that people are submitting, you know, to authority. And they were to make the argument, which will sound logical. Well, you know, we live in a free society. I mean, we live in a society where we have to obey. We're civilized. We obey the laws, and the law said this. So I'm going to do it. It may not be true, but I am going to go along with it. Others do it very emotionally, and they're convinced the science is behind them, and they will do this. And this is so strange when the leaders of this whole effort to contain the virus is totally inconsistent, flip-flopping, and you don't know what they'll say tomorrow. But right now, if it were so bad, why would there be so many people demanding that things be opened up? Revolting, a lot of people are revolting by large numbers.
Yeah.
They're marching out and you know, challenging them because if would they do that if they thought they were going to catch the plague or something? They wouldn't do this. They think, you know, and this might bring us into the next segment, is they see what it's doing, what they're doing, you know, to the economy, what they're doing to their kids, and you know, how it's dividing people. But it's certainly the people are voting. They're voting, and the politicians are slow. You know, they're unhappy with the governor in California. He's such a nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're unhappy with him, but it still does take time.
Yeah.
But at least that's available to him, and he's probably going to get kicked out over some of the silliness that they supported. But others are very, very determined. They instead of flip-flopping, they get really determined, and they don't budge an inch, and they become more determined for non-scientific reasons.
Yeah, you know, I looked around, and we talked about the other day, Newsom in California, we talked about Chicago, D.C., Massachusetts, and elsewhere, all these blue state governors saying, you know what, we better start opening up. This isn't looking good. You think about people who are ignoring that, someone like our own Greg Abbott. I did a search for Google. Maybe Abbott's waking up. He's going to get rid of that executive order. Nope, he's still there. But I'm thinking with Fauci saying now put on two masks, after a whole year of saying one mask, he might have just sort of slipped into self-parody, because I look on Twitter and I look at the reactions, and that's, of course, not a scientific by any stretch of the imagination. But this sort of gestalt response to Fauci saying this is, are you out of your mind? All this year you've been saying a mask is great, and now all of a sudden you're saying, well, where to? Now, as you said, if he would have come out and said, okay, there has been a study done by Johns Hopkins, we've done all this, we've measured the particles, and it says actually two does do the job, that would be different. But instead he sort of retreats into this, well, it's just common sense. But the thing is, common sense is lacking, because let's look at the next clip. That's not enough. Here's CNBC. Forget about two masks. They say double mask is only 75% efficient. You need to do a triple mask. This is on Shep Smith. Remember, he used to be on Fox. Now he's on CNBC. He brought in a correspondent to claim that actually you need to wear three masks. No study really that's been cited for this, but you got to wear three. We have a better recommendation, and here's the next picture. For those of you who are going to say fake news, this is parody, but here's our recommendation for Fauci. That would give you maybe 1,000% protection. But one final thing on this, Dr. Paul. Here's the thing, though. Even as they descend sort of into parody, where people are really starting to not believe it, except for the real dead enders, people are coming over to our position. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead, but don't force it. But here's MSN. They're saying double layering doesn't mean you can let your guard down. So even if you put the two or three or four or five, nope. You public health officials say the general public should still use social distancing, still wash their hands regularly, and still avoid gathering indoors. So they say no matter what you do, get the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask. You wear a mask, you still have to social distance. So they're not going to let go of any part of this very easily.
That's why I think the most important point in this mess that we're dealing with is a submission.
Yeah.
The submission to somebody taking care of us, a government bureaucrat, and not the individual, not the local community, not the family, not the doctors, but submission to an authority. So they're saying, even if this is, you know, a little bit off of, you got to do it. You got to be loyal. You got to obey. And that is it. And that to me is the exact opposite of what should be in a free society. Actually, there's a principle that a lot of people don't accept. I had trouble at first accepting this, but I believe strongly in now that the purpose of government is not safety. The purpose of government is liberty.
Yeah.
So if the purpose of government is safety, it involves your whole life. You know, what you can do or can't do, what you eat and how you exercise, you got to be in good health. It goes on and on when the government's involved with that. And this is something that people accept. Well, the government, you know, they have the standard. FDA tells us what we should eat or drink. And you know, they're the ones who always concerned about the fact that I'd hear about a new medication and FDA approved.
Yeah.
And that never reassured me because there were some things that they were approving. I said, you know, even I, who was not the super expert, I'd look at that and say, you know, that doesn't make common sense. And I wouldn't do it. And it turns out that later on. The other thing is when the government puts a stamp of approval on you and somebody and you prescribe it or somebody uses it, what's the first thing they do? They sue.
Yeah.
They sue you. And the insurance, well, the attorneys are out there making a lot of money, but the people who made all the money on it, they usually don't end up paying very much. The doctors even get sued by using something the FDA approved.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny you mentioned about safety. You know, the government's obligation is to provide safety. Well, that goes beyond just what you eat, because what they want to do is they want to decide what you read, what you get to post, because it might be unsafe. You might get some people riled up. You might get impeached. So,
and of course, we can expand that to total foreign policy too.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, why are we in the Middle East? It's to keep the American people safe.
Yeah.
You know, and you bow to those who, you know, unfortunately went to the Middle East and lost a lot,
yeah,
lives and limbs. And yet that's acceptable because they were making us safe. And the other thing on that, all of this, they're defending the Constitution, just like the managers of the trial. Oh, this is terrible, but I want to defend the Constitution. It's my obligation to do that. You know what? What a bunch of nonsense, you know. So they're always doing it for our safety. Save the Constitution. Protect our safety from invaders. And also, the invader and the invading virus. We're the only ones that know how many masks you're supposed to wear.
Well, it's no surprise that all of this, leading to our second story and final story, is causing anxiety and depression in people. And the media will like to portray this as anxiety over the virus. And I'm sure there's plenty of that. People are afraid of getting sick, especially when it's been really, really emphasized. But they're also feeling anxiety and depression over things like our first segment, flip-flop, schizophrenia, do this, 12 masks, 8 masks, no masks. And we actually want to cite, this is something we both saw on Zero Hedge. Let's don't put that up quite yet, actually. We want to talk about a new study by Statista Research founding that COVID is taking a heavy toll on mental health. And they've done some research. They've used U.S. Census Bureau data, National Center for Health Statistics data. And what they have found, Dr. Paul, they surveyed 60,000 Americans between December 9th and 21st. And what they found is more than 4 in 10 Americans have developed clinical symptoms of depression or anxiety.
That's right. And if you challenge them, you can be accused of being unpatriotic, you know, and a few other things. But this is a real shame. And a lot of people think, well, these are people who tend to be weak people, and they get depressed easily,
yeah,
and they're adults who have their stresses. But these are kids.
Yeah, a lot of kids.
So many young people doing this, and it is so bizarre that they don't change their mind. And right now, the parents are. wanting to change their mind. And they want their kids to act normal again, where they can go back and play their sports and go to school.
Yeah.
Because they haven't adapted well to this homeschooling business. So they are still keeping the kids in the same way, and they're going to keep them there. But the parents now are resisting. They're going in and say, we want our schools opened. And when they say this, you find out the greatest resistance comes from the labor unions.
Yeah.
And they're organized and they're powerful, but it's a force that and an authority that is gained, of course, by legislation. This means that they will have a lot of influence, and there's a delay on this. But I think the people, you know, that are standing up now and speaking out, there was another one the other day, had the day at the shopping center, no masks. That'll come, because I just don't lie awake at night. I want to be correct, and I want to have the right answers. I think our position of having choice covers you. People who disagree with it, they can do with it. But if somebody is influenced by our program and say, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe I hate these masks anyway. And if I didn't know that that they could be dangerous, that all of a sudden, you know, people might, just change their minds, and they should. So this is something that, we're in the middle of this. I think it's going to change. At least I'm optimistic. But even some of these statements that I think you read today, they say, well, even though you do this, we still have to be cautious. Yeah. Other viruses are coming. If two is not enough, we have to do three. But there's the other thing that we have not mentioned today, but have mentioned it before. There's usually a special interest somewhere behind all this. Whether it's the vaccine manufacturers or the mask makers, all the different special interests. It certainly can't be the average person who suffers the consequence of this stress and the consequence of the lockdown, the jobs that are lost, and all these things. It can't be them. But there's still a lot of those that say, yeah, but we have to do it. We have to do it. Well, the people who claim that they have science on their side 100%, I think 100% of what science is all about is to look at an issue from both sides, and when the questions pop up, you know, try to find it through experimentation, not through politicization.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. This is a political football, and so many people depend on it and just say, well, we'll talk to our congressman about it. That's not going to do the job.
And that's the issue, you know, on the actual virus, on the actual sickness, we've never flouted, we've never denied the fact that people can get sick. In fact, I've advised people, you know, certain people, friends of mine, that you need to take caution. You're in some categories that are dangerous. But the weird thing is that it's sort of society is acting like nobody ever dies. And it is a sad fact of life, and some of us have faced it recently. But the fact is people do die. And people, especially older people, they do die from the seasonal influenza and other things. So it's nothing completely new. But speaking of these studies, you know what I would be interested in seeing, and you've talked about it with the school, you just said, you know, Florida schools are 100% open for in-person instruction. California, I saw a statistic today, I think it's 12% or less is open. I would like to see a survey of the school-aged children in those two states about mental health and see. That would be really interesting. But on this survey, let's put up the chart now, because I think that chart really says a lot. You talk about what we're doing to ourselves as a society in locking people down, taking away their livelihood, destroying their businesses. This is the Statista study. The yellow is January to June 2019. The red is May 14 to 19, 2020. And the most recent one in purple is December 9th to 21st in 2020. And look at that, symptoms of depressive and anxiety disorder. And look at that purple as compared to the yellow. We are a society that is literally going insane because of this crazy experiment in locking everything down in the name of fighting a virus. This is not, I don't think we're going to recover from this very quickly, Dr. Paul.
No, and I don't think we can recover unless we, as a country, address the subject of what is the proper role for government. If the proper role for government is to make sure that every single person is safe and secure and will never get a virus, they're doing a lot of harm, and they have to destroy civil liberties if they're going to go that route. Same way with all the policies, whether it's the foreign policy, civil liberties, or economic policies. It's always, most of the time, well-intended, but a lot of times it's profiteering that's going on, and it certainly has created a corporate state. You know, corporatism, you know, has evolved over the last several decades, and that is the monster that really controls a whole lot. So if they don't address that, we're not going to solve the problems. That the whole thing is, if you believe that the government is responsible for making you safe, do you know what they can? They can make you safe, and they can make you secure from an outside force, but they destroy you. You have to be destroyed. You have to be like an animal caged or in a fenced in a field. Yes, you could be safe, and they could feed you, could take care of you, but you also would lose your senses, and you would no longer maintain the humanity that is intended, where you can think and be responsible for oneself. That would be gone. That's what we need. And people say, no, there's too many problems. There's too many problems. We cannot depend, you know, on individuals doing it. We have to have the state to take care of it. But look at the evidence. Look at it, the scientific evidence. How have the results been? The results are, and it's clear, that the bigger the government, the more they spend, and the more that they control us, the less happy and the less wealthy the people are, and more problems that we have. So the evidence is there, but and the problems that the government is supposed to be solving, it doesn't work. They don't solve our problems; they make them worse. What we think of, we have a problem of a virus, and we say the government knows exactly what to do. But mistakes could be made. We can't let the people do this because somebody might make a mistake and not solve it. But the way it is now is the people cave in and say, he's right. If the people make up all the decisions, somebody's going to make a mistake and somebody's going to get hurt and somebody's going to get sick in spite of it. Maybe. But what if you find the wrong kind of people who gravitate to government, and Hayek said the worst find their way to the top in politics, and they get in charge, and then what happens? Everybody suffers, and correcting that is a problem, and what Daniel's alluding to. How do you do it? It's a huge problem, and it can't be solved unless we decide we want to live as free people and live like we have responsibility for ourselves and reduce the importance of the monolithic state that claims that they can take care of us from cradle to grave. I don't believe in that. I believe in personal liberty and personal responsibility. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.